Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:19 Central African time. That Nasheed on Afia Siddiqui. She is still languishing in jail, and it's an indictment. It's an indictment on the Ummah. You know, I remember from long ago, from the time of CII Radio, from the year 2000, and many years went on and on and on and on. And we used to play that Nasheed, and we should always talk about it, and we're still talking about it and talking about it. It's only a talk shop, people. Walk the talk. But someone that walks the talk, and he's watching from his 10th floor, and he's looking at the promenade, he's our very own Adam Kamda. He takes in the fresh air of the Indian Ocean. He looks at the silhouettes of the clouds, and he says, every cloud has a golden lining. I changed it to silver. Gold is more precious than silver, I think. Adam Kamda, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tell me, how you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Adam?
Wa alaikum salam, Shafaat. Yes, it's so gorgeous here on the Durban beachfront. Every few minutes is a fantastic photographic opportunity, Shafaat. When I got up, it was quite dark. I watched the sky change colors as the sun came towards the horizon. It was quite a gray and dull start to the day. Then we found the sun shining through the clouds, a brilliant orange in the middle of dark gray. Then we had a canopy of gray with sunbeams shining through. And now the warmth is coming through, Shafaat. As I speak to you, you can feel the sun coming up and just warming the Durban promenade, Shafaat.
You know, Adam, I give you full marks. It was as if you had a canvas in front of you. You have taken a paintbrush. Hey, I tell you, this is the best artist a Muslim world has. His name is Adam Kamda. And Adam, you know what? The other day, I was with a visually, handicapped person, a visually challenged person. And once they're talking to me and they said, yeah, it's morning and, you know, the sun is out and all that. And suddenly it struck me, Adam, it struck me so heavily. I said, how do you know, what the sunrise looked like? Can you describe it to me? And Adam, it tugged me so much that perhaps we are sometimes not too sensitive with people that are handicapped or visually challenged. Did you have any experience with the people, you know, that are visually challenged? And, you know, did we ask them the questions, you know, how's this and then how you feel about it? And what's your thoughts?
Yes, Shafaat, you know, if people grow up with a disability, then they tend to develop an extra sense. So they can still sense whatever's around us that we can see, Shafaat. For example, as the sun comes up, they can feel the warmth. And, you know, they are aware of the brightness and darkness, although they can't see. A good example is my friend Wayne Colby. He actually lost his eyesight after an operation. So this entire thing was quite a shock to him, and it was really difficult for him to cope. But over the months that he survived, he was able to develop those extra senses, Shafaat. And what will always remain in my memory is when I took him out to sea, Shafaat, on a boat. He was one of the most experienced surf launch skippers in South Africa. And it was a really sad experience to go through this with, you know, him losing his eyesight. And when I took him out to sea, he reminded me that, you know what, he never imagined that he would be out on a boat again and behind the steering wheel again. And even though he had lost his eyesight completely, I put him behind the steering of the boat and I let him drive us. And this was at the end of the day, he was, bringing the boat back to shore. Obviously, he wouldn't have beached it, but he had the opportunity to drive the boat. And the way we did it, Shafaat, is the sun was coming close to setting, so you could feel the sun's direction, and he could feel it on his right cheek, and he could steer the boat just based on the direction that the sun's rays was striking on his face, Shafaat. So there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. Forgive the pun. And,
absolutely.
Guys with disabilities can really become quite able again once they learn those skills, Shafaat.
Absolutely. They have the third eye. They have the spiritual eye. And, you know, they're more perceptive than we can think of that. And, you know, a great story indeed of coming from Adam Kamda. Adam, you know, you have a lot of TLC in you. Where did you get that from, that lovely quality of yours? I can hear it in your voice, but here you gave us a practical example of how you took a very close friend of yours that became, you know, visually challenged, and you did that. Where did you get this from, Adam? Tell us.
Yes, Shafat, I've got a lot of time for disabled. We make a lot of effort to teach disabled anglers to fish, or even give them the opportunity to fish. We used to run this competition at the Naval Base, where the Naval Base used to open it up once a year and allow the disabled to come and fish. You know, it's quite a convenient spot. It's the Naval Base has got a wharf, so they set up a rope at the edge so the wheelchairs do not have an accident and go over. As you know, getting access onto a beach is very difficult for wheelchair-bound anglers because of the soft sand. There are special arrangements that can be made on the beachfront, but it's really difficult and cumbersome to get through all that. So on these organized events, we'd have up to 200 or 300 disabled anglers fishing, and maybe up to 200 or 300 helpers as well. Since COVID, all that has stopped, but inshallah, that should be revived in the month ahead, or maybe as early as next year. And I always love teaching, Shafaat. So whether it's disabled or abled anglers, I love teaching all manner of water sport, whether it's fishing or boating or sailing or whatever I've experienced, Shafaat, I love to share with others and give them the spark to a foot in the door into different sports. And if they wish to take it further, for example, if you want to become a sailor, you need to do a professional course. I try to think that I'll give you the spark, and if you want to take it further, you can go for the professional training. Or even if you are keen on deep sea fishing and you want to do surf launching, you can come out with us. On a casual, friendly basis, not really on a professional training basis. And if you want to take it further, then you go for professional training, Shafaat. So I really love, imparting skills to various facets of ocean sports, Shafaat.
Absolutely brilliant, Adam. And I'm thinking here very deeply whilst you're talking. Visually handicapped fishermen, they have to have a companion at the side all the time, because I'm visualizing the bait has to be put by the companion that can see, will help them out and tell them how to cast and so forth. Adam, how does it work?
Yes, the disabled anglers we had, Shafaat, various faculties compromised, whether it's sight or some of them are paraplegics. So we always encourage the anglers to come with the helpers, or we could provide helpers as well. So the ones that can't see, you have to help them to put the bait on, but they also love to feel it and learn to put the bait on themselves. Then we teach them to cast gently into the water. And even when they feel the bite, their senses are so much more acute compared to ours, and they can feel the bite. And it's such a thrill when you get these anglers to catch their first fish. And when they land it, they can feel the fish wriggling in their hands, unhook it, and then throw it back into the ocean or into the bay, Shafaat.
Adam, I MC Day function where they were visually handicapped people. They had a book launch, and I was sitting with them, and we took it for granted, everything, as you said, taking for granted, spoke to them. I watched how they were very competent in eating and giving their speeches. But I realized then, one person told me, the book, can you describe how the book looks to me? And I just got a shock. I said, yeah, imagine the person wrote the book, the chapter is in the book, but they don't know how. So I describe the cover. I said it's a four-color job, and it has stars on it, and it's this color and that color. But you learn so much, and even you giving up the information this morning, JazakAllah khair for that. I mean, really giving the people the information that sometimes we take for granted, Adam.
Yes, Shafaat. I'd love to introduce Tapura Khan. She's heading an organization. She's also visually compromised. She's blind, and she's running the organization. Yes, Shafaat.
That's the person you're talking about. She asked me to MC the function. But go ahead, talk about her. I'll send you a clip about the function.
Yes,
go ahead.
She's introduced me to the group, and I'm so amazed and grateful for the interaction. I'll give you an example of one of the events she's coordinated. It's the Blind Navigators Rally. And you think, how on earth are you going to get blind people to participate in motorsport? But this was such an eye-opener for me, and I took part in the rally, and it's where you have volunteers like myself, you know, would sit in as the driver, and you'd have all the navigators either completely blind or partially sighted, and they would read the route by braille, and they will call out the instructions to the driver. So as you drive so many kilometers, then they'll tell you what's coming up. There's a certain landmark, you know, you need to turn left here, you need to turn right there, and it's a race not for speed. It's not a race to get to a destination first, but it's a race for accuracy and accuracy of the destination and accuracy of time. So within the speed limits, and you're driving on public roads, you reach certain checkpoints and you're clocking at certain checkpoints. It was the most amazing day I've ever experienced, Shafat. And you learn a lot, you bond a lot with these people, and also, you know, you keep them on par with, you know, you don't look at them as disabled. You know, they've got actually extra abilities that we cannot even fathom, Shafat. So it's really, I'd encourage everyone to get in touch with Safura Khan and join our organization and see how they can help. They need funding, they also need volunteers, whether you can contribute in money or in your time. You know, everyone's efforts that help to contribute is always appreciated in that regard, Shafat.
Yeah, Adam should have been there yesterday. Anyway, alhamdulillah, great to see you do things like that. And, you know, I think the Phoenix Lights or something like that, they call themselves. But alhamdulillah, you learn so much from these people. And, you know, they're sharp and they know, you know, who's who in the zoo also, Adam. Moving on, we talk about crates, baits and nets. Get ready. You know what's next, Adam. tell Omar, what's next?
Yes, Shafar, this year's sardine run really is a cat and mouse game. The KZN Sharks Board has done three flights to the Eastern Cape already in anticipation of the sardines reaching KZN waters. They've found lots of activities of huge shoals, lots of predators following them, like sharks and dolphins and birds. Lots of pilot trolls have broken away and moved up closer to KZN. There have been some amateur sightings around Margate area, but speculation is that is the red-eye sardine and not the Natal sardine. Some of the professionals are saying that there's lots of dirty water around, and some of the sardines are already moving up under cover of the dirty water. So it's anyone's guess when the first nettings will be done. Some are saying as early as this week, Wednesday. I'm guessing around middle of June, because I looked at the forecast and it's showing a strong cold front coming through around the 14th of June. So hopefully it will be a good time coming towards June 16th, the public holiday, and Father's Day on the 19th of June. So it'll be quite a festive month of June for us, Shafat. Inshallah, the sardines will grace our shores, and we can start grabbing buckets full and testing out all our recipes, Shafat.
Yeah, I know you're going to have a powerful recipe coming up shortly, and I'm going to keep that as a surprise. Let Adam introduce his recipe for you. Well, you know, we're looking at our shorelines, and they say that cigarette butts are wreaking havoc on the seabirds and the fish, which is, you know, I never knew that cigarette butts could be such a pain in the butt. I mean, pardon the thing, Adam, for sea life and the birds and so forth.
Yes, it's very harmful, Shafat. As you know, it's made up of like a plasticky material which doesn't decay and decompose readily, Shafat. It's a synthetic material. And, you know, you don't realize, you think it's such a tiny item and it's discarded and, you know, it doesn't make much difference. But there are so many smokers, and there's so many thousands of cigarettes being smoked daily and discarded into the trash. And a lot of it finds its ways into the drains and down into the ocean. And there's, besides the cigarette butt, Shafat, plastic is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. There's tons and tons of floating trash out in the ocean. Another danger, Shafat, is all the trash that actually sinks to the bottom of the ocean. There are parts of the ocean that we cannot reach. It's too deep and too much of pressure. But can you imagine what's going on there with all of this trash accumulating there? and clogging up all the natural ecosystems that the ocean relies on. And a lot of it is not even fully studied and understood, Shafaat. So who knows what the repercussions would be if we start killing off the creatures of the deep and the rest of the ecosystem is reliant on them, and then suddenly they're not there or they are damaged. So the ocean is a vast resource, but it's not infinite. And the scale of pollution that man is dishing out to the ocean, it's reaching its limits now, Shafaat. There are actually areas in the ocean that are called dead zones, where there is no life left. And if we continue in this manner, then we won't be able to harvest anything from the ocean in the years to come.
I'm looking at a message here from Fuzail. He says, "Assalamu alaikum, Shafaat. I really enjoy you and Adam Kamda. You guys are tops with the fishing. Yeah, Adam is a topper, not me." And he says, "I want to know, Brother Adam, which is the best portion of the fish to eat, the middle or the tail part? I know the head, you just throw it back into the sea." How do you respond to Fuzail, Adam?
You know, Shafaat, let's look at a chicken. You know, if a family cooks chicken regularly, you'll have the whole chicken. And in every person in the family likes different parts. Some of them like the fillet, some of them like the drumstick. I go for the neck. Some like the bony parts, like me. It's the same with the fish, Shafaat. You know, some of them like the tail portion because you get that flesh that's thinning out and it's more flavor. Some like the belly section. It's much more buttery and soft. Some like the middle, it's easier to flake the meat off the bone. And here again, Shafaat, I like the bony part, so I actually go for the head. There's a lot of flavor in the head. It's cooked, if it's cooked well, it just opens up and you just, you know, scoop out all the delicious flesh that's there. And so there's a part for every member of the family, and I'm sure everyone has their favorite, Shafaat.
Well, people, you know where he gets his brains from. Yeah. Yeah. He's eating the head, people. He's chowing the head. Yeah. I don't know, Adam. Hey, you have to convince me to chow that head. Tell me, what recipe you'll make with that head?
Shafaat, fish is brain food. There are certain chemicals in fish that, you know, you should have fish regularly on your diet, and it actually is very healthy to develop the brain. And there are some cultures that do eat the brain of the fish, Shafaat. I've seen, I've sat at a restaurant once, and the guest ordered this fish. I think it was a big fish head, probably rock hard head, and they split the skull open and removed the brain and ate the brain. So some people could be a bit squeamish about it, but to some people it's quite a delicacy, Shafaat. So coming to the recipe, since sardine is the flavor of the day, if you want to be brave, you can use fresh sardine, and in this style you marinate it and eat it uncooked, Shafaat. So you start with 350 grams of fresh sardines, cleaned and butterflied. If you don't know how to butterfly it, you can ask your fishmonger to do it. The rest of the ingredients is a quarter cup of extra virgin olive oil, the juice of 3 lemons, 1 small garlic clove crushed, quarter cup finely chopped dhania, and 2 tablespoons baby capers rinsed and drained. It's so easy, Shafaat. You combine the sardines, oil, lemon juice, garlic, dhania, and capers, and a pinch of salt in a glass bowl. Mix this all up thoroughly so everything's well coated. Cover and chill for 30 minutes or until it turns opaque. Then you serve this with lemon slices on bread toast, Shafaat. If you're not so adventurous and you don't want to have it uncooked, you can use the same marinated sardine and just warm it through on the bread, give it a little smoky flavor, and enjoy it with the bread, Shafaat.
Absolutely brilliant, Adam. And, you know, people take the sardine for granted. Very nutritious indeed, and very healthy. You know, the biggest health benefit of eating sardines, I believe the oil content of a sardine is more than other fish. How true is that, Adam?
Yes, Shafaat, the general rule is to eat the younger fish. You know, if you have fish that are surviving for many years in the ocean, they have the tendency to accumulate toxins, especially big barracuda. You know, there's some information that you can get mercury poisoning from big barracuda, and there's There's also some other disease you can pick up from it. So you should avoid overgrown fish. And that's where sardines lend themselves to being very healthy. They're usually quite young. They're usually a year or two older when we are netting them. And they are, as you rightly said, high in omega-3 fatty acids, Shapat. And they're extremely healthy. You find the sardine family of fish is very, very popular in Mediterranean countries. And you find that they are generally very healthy coastal living people and live to a ripe old age. So I think we can emulate that, Shafat. Have our sardines with lots of olive oil, garlic, lemon juice, and a pinch of salt for the flavor, Shafat.
Adam, also thinking aloud, when we look at all these different types of fish we get, and, sometimes you go to a fishmonger and you see this barracuda, or you see the other day, I don't know what I saw. What was it? I just bought it because it was so big and round. Hey, how much? He said, 100 rand a kg. I said, hey, I want that middle portion. I'm going to put in the oven. I'm going to put some butter on it and I imagine that Adam is in front of me and I'll chow the whole thing myself. But should I be careful? Because as you said, the bigger the fish, I don't know, you've got some problems. You'd rather go for young fish. So if a fish is big, 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 it's an old fish, Adam.
Yes, Shafat, as I mentioned, there is a risk. Imagine now the fish is living on this reef system year in and year out, and as it consumes the organisms around it, some of the toxins remain in the system. It remains probably in the fatty tissues, and it is not able to discard it. So it's not unsafe to eat any big fish. I mean, we are still consuming big fish all the time, but the general rule is look for the younger fish. The flavor is a lot more delicate. The flesh is a lot more tender. It's easier and faster to cook. And don't overcook your fish, Shafat. We tend to overdo it sometimes, and you lose a lot of nutrients when you overcook fish. But try the sardines, mackerel, tuna style of fish. Those generally tend to be quite healthy. And don't use too much of oil. Just use a drizzle of olive oil when you're cooking the fish. And try and preserve the natural flavor of the fish. Also, Shafat, very important, you mentioned shopping at a fishmonger. Learn to identify the different species of fish. Like I recently shopped for fish, and there's a difference. Like if you're buying reds, there's subtle differences in the shape and texture of the fish, but huge variety of difference in the taste of it, Shafat. So if you buy the wrong one, or if you are duped to think that you're buying steamed brass, but it's not really steamed brass, it's something else, then you're paying a premium price and you're not really getting the right species. So I think do some research, Google it, and get to learn to see the different colors of the fish and the different shapes of them. So you're a much wiser consumer when you're shopping for fish, Shafat.
Now, Adam, let's get serious here. When you get that, you go and buy that pilchards in the can, right? And you make the tin fish chutney, they say. Why is it so delicious? You can have it with yellow dal with the rice, and you just make the tin fish chutney, and your taste buds, they start jumping like sardines jumping out of the water to the seashore. Why is it like that, Adam? Why does the tin fish chutney get your taste buds tingling, Adam?
Yes, Shafat, I think this comes down to culinary history, Shafat. A tin fish has been a very cheap source of protein for many years. And from our humble beginnings, before we could afford lavish steaks and things, tin fish found its way onto our tables much more regularly. And over the years, you acquire a taste for it, because although the head of the household is cooking up this cheap dish, but she puts her heart and soul into it with the green chilies and the onions and a little bit of tamarind and, really make it delicious. So as we grow up in these households eating tin fish, we develop a love for the flavor, not just having it because it's a cheap meal. And eventually it becomes a gourmet meal. It becomes a delicacy, and you actually look forward to it because it's not featuring so much on your table anymore when you can afford much better dishes like prawns, etc. So when it does come out, your taste buds just starts jumping, and you start salivating because it brings back all the memories of the days when you went down to the beach for a picnic and you took rotten fish with some sliced strong onion and green chilies, and you had this on buttered brown bread chapat. So I think it jogs a lot of memories, and it really gets the saliva flowing, chapat.
Hey, you got it. You got me jumping, Adam. I'm running to the bakery now. Please give me 2 minutes. I'm going to get that white bread, and I'm going to get some butter out. I'm going to go for the tin fish chutney. My breakfast. Adam has made our breakfast. Boniface, being on a rock with the tin fish. Yes, Adam, you know, as you say, all this happens, and you really enjoy and you embrace all that. And, you know, I had a friend of mine, and he was a very keen fisherman, Shafi Khan. Allah Philly is covered with Nuri, passed away last year. And he was to say, hey, you know, chef, you just can't beat this. And he needs to go and put the onions and the chilies and a whole white bread and, you know, a whole block of butter. And he says, just finish the tin fish there and then. And he washed it down with a lovely hot cup of chai. Well, Adam, I tell you, you were absolutely, mashallah, brilliant. And you got the ummah all talking. And I won't be surprised if they will have, you know, even the titfish akni, Adam, how delicious that tastes. I mean, I'm sure you have tried that.
Yes, I have, Shafar, and you're making me lips for it as well now. You have that lovely, delicious, tangy bits of the fillet that's in the akni. And when you dish it out so delicately that you don't want everything to mash up, you know, so you still have those fillets of the sardine. But here's the challenge, Shafat. Sardine season is coming, and let's try and do that with fresh sardines. Let's see how that comes out, Shafat.
Yeah, good idea there, Adam. And maybe we can have a braai on the shores of the Indian Ocean. We'll get all your comrades, you know, Trevor, and you call me Vaizi, and who else, bring them all there. And inshallah, we can have a bonding together. Adam, as I said, you bring the slot alive. Allah bless you for that. Your parting words this morning.
Thanks for a lovely show, Shafat. Yes, I'd just like to remind all the listeners, tune in to the Sardine News 2022 on Facebook and YouTube. We'll try and keep all the viewers updated as to the sardine sightings and where they are netted and beaching and all the excitement that comes along with the sardine run. Thanks for a lovely show, Shafat. Lovely to be on air with you and the listeners. Salams to you and the listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to our Adam Kamda. Always a treat to having people. Yeah, your treat this morning, he gave me the recipe, the sardine recipe. But, yeah, we also gave you a whole can. Each one of you got a can of pilchards. Yeah, go get busy in the kitchen now. What? All right, no. Okay, Jiggy Foy, you can have it with roti. Yeah, you have it with lovely soft roti.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.